Check. Oh, hi. Hey, guys. Erfan Elijah here. And I want to just invite you guys formally to our big Cultcast live party event at Macworld. It's our first live event ever. And if you're going to be at Macworld, I would love to see you there. I want to talk to you, maybe touch you gently and appropriately. I don't know. We'll see where it goes. Okay, but here's the important part. It's going to be at the Box SF in San Francisco on March 27th at 8 p.m. sharp. We're going to have an open bar. Can you believe that? It's going to be bad for El Caney. He may not survive the night. We're also going to make it rain prizes. We have all sorts of great stuff to give away. You could also win a copy of Leander Caney's new Johnny Ive book. He'll even sign it for you. And I want to make sure you guys have a chance to get into the party. We reserved a small batch of tickets that we're going to be giving away for free. Just head on over to cultcast.eventbrite. That's eventbrite.com. And that will get you in the door past our majorly strong bouncers. I want to thank Discade and Mac Update for sponsoring this awesome event. If you like getting great deals on popular Mac software, definitely check out deals.macupdate.com. And of course, for the best iPhone, iPod, and iPad transfer tool for Mac and PC, make sure you check out DiskAid 6. Head on over to DigiDNA, DigiDNA.net. Go get your tickets right now. Go do it. No, just go. No, don't wait for the show to start. Just go do it. Okay. All right. Show starting. Here we go. It's happening. Hello, and welcome to the Cultcast, the best 30-minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. I'm your host, Erfan Elijah. I'm joined by three incredibly svelte gentlemen. Alex Excelsior Heath is here. Alex, hello.
Hello.
The Leander Caney. Leander.
Hiya.
Hello, Governor. Hi. And Buster Heine, live from Arizona. Hey, Buster.
Hey, man.
Welcome to the show, guys. Thanks for joining me. Every week, I'm a little worried that you guys are just going to say, no, I don't want to do it.
One of these days.
Yeah, I know. It might be long.
You're going to realize what this show is, and you're just going to say, yeah, I don't want to do it. Right. Not feel it. We got a great show packed full of stuff. But before we jump into everything, I just want to thank our sponsors, Sanebox.com. Do you get too much email? Leander, I know you do. I do as well. Then Sanebox is for you. It moves unimportant emails out of your inbox into a separate folder. And then it summarizes all your extra emails into a digest that you can look at later. It's actually really helped me save a lot of time going through my email. I tweeted out today that I have about 1,300 emails in my inbox, and Sanebox helps me just look at the ones that need to be looked at so I don't have to dive through that huge swath eventually that I'm going to have to get to. But I also want to thank Lynda.com, that's Lynda.com, for sponsoring the episode. I love Lynda.
She sounds lovely.
.com. She has her own website, and if you go there, you can watch over 2,000 high-quality video courses taught by industry-leading experts. Lynda.com will help you master virtually any application all on your own time and at your own pace. Learn for free all you want for 7 days with a free trial. Just head over to lynda.com/cultcast. That's lynda.com/cultcast. Guys, I want to wish you all a very merry, happy birthday. Did you guys know it's our second anniversary?
Today?
No,
I didn't get anything.
We just passed it. We just passed it.
Yeah, right.
But we just hit 2 years. And
I totally forgot to get you something. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you're a jerk. Because all the rest of us got each other presents. Yeah.
We did
a gift exchange, you know, where we pick one person and you were supposed to buy me something. And so I didn't get a gift. But we could talk about that later. Also, what I didn't realize, funny enough, is it was just Steve Jobs' birthday, too. February 24th is when he was born. And, of course, the internet celebrated that. So I guess we started just the day before his birthday 2 years ago. And we didn't even know that until today. So
and it's Johnny Ive's birthday tomorrow.
Is it? They're all born in February.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good month for birthdays.
Yep, absolutely. Very auspicious.
Do you know how old Johnny Ive's going to be?
He was born in 67, so what does that make him? 40?
He's 94.
Okay. There you go. I was about to say 104. Right now. So your math, I think, is
good. I'm a whiz with math, so don't even try to calculate that. Anyway, it's our second anniversary, and I always like to take the opportunity whenever we, you know, hit like 100 episodes or have an anniversary. Just thank everyone who's been listening all this time. We have a lot of people who've been listening. They've been listening since day one. And now we're on episode 115. It's kind of crazy that some of these people have listened to us speak for 115 hours.
15 episodes of total gibberish.
So many bad jokes in those episodes.
So many. Inane rambling.
Terrible, terrible jokes, 80% of which are my fault, so I apologize for that. But yeah, so anyway, thanks for listening for 2 years and for sticking with us all this time. Let's talk about something that I thought Buster would really like. Buster, you know that one of the things everyone loves about you is your beautiful man beard.
Yeah.
And apparently you're quite a trendsetter, because there are people in New York City now, and Gizmodo just did a piece on this. And before we get to the Apple news, I just had to bring this up, because apparently there are people who are such hipsters now, they're actually getting beard transplants. This is not a joke. In Brooklyn, there are doctors who Gizmodo talked to who said beard transplants are on the rise, and there are people who are paying up to $3,000 to $7,000 for partial beard implants, so that they can grow a bushier beard.
Dude, I'll trim you off some of mine for free.
Yeah.
I could use some of that.
Yeah, I could just probably like use some rubber cement and paste that on.
My hair grows everywhere but my face.
Oh. Is this a... What?
Okay. I would like to do like the opposite of that surgery, like the beard to head transplant. That's what I need.
Well, so if you lack facial hair and you want to look good, like Buster looks good, have no shame. You can go to Brooklyn, get one of these facial transplant surgeries, and you're going to be a big hit with the ladies.
Are they transplanting, like, you know, twirly mustaches and stuff like that?
Oh, you know that's probably their biggest seller. The buttocks to upper lip transplant.
That's right. They're going to take it from somewhere. Where are they taking the hair from?
I don't know. That's a great question.
The nethers? The nether regions?
Now you too are going to have a beautiful, thick, curly mustache. I don't know, for the beard, that actually
guaranteed
might work.
Guaranteed to get in your partner's mouth when she gives you a kiss.
Oh, my goodness.
Or anyway, stuck in your ice cream.
Stuck in your ice cream. There's going to be so much of it. It's going to be so bushy. Yeah. And it's just going to get everywhere, and women will love
it. Listen, I think this is totally ridiculous, and I don't believe a word of it.
Hey, Gizmodo posted it, so you know it's real.
Gotta be true.
It's gotta be true. In any case, let's talk about some Apple news, shall we? We got some rumors today that David Fincher is going to be, well, he's in talks to be the director for the new Steve Jobs movie, which is being written, or I guess was written, because the script is done, by Aaron Sorkin.
Yes.
And this could turn out to be pretty cool, because they were the same duo that did... They both worked on the Social Network, right?
Yeah, Sorkin. Yeah. He directed.
Okay, so it's going to star Jesse Eisenberg as Steve Jobs.
No, I think,
actually,
I'm thinking
wouldn't he make a great Tim Cook? He kind of looks like a young Tim Cook.
Oh, dude, I'm thinking Justin Timberlake for Steve Jobs.
Steve Jobs.
Gosh.
I'm just kidding.
What about Ashton Kutcher? He's already had practice. They can just have him reprise his Oscar.
Or Macklemore.
as Steve Jobs. Actually, he could kind of pull it off. They dyed his hair and put some dark contact lenses in his eyes. He might be able to do it.
But David Fincher's awesome, so I hope he does direct. I mean, he's done like a lot of my favorite movies. So,
like, which ones?
Well, Fight Club, obviously.
That was a David Fincher. I didn't even know that. I didn't even know that. No.
That was his, like, breakout movie.
The only thing I remember from that movie are Brad Pitt's spectacular abs.
You didn't know that David Fincher directed Fight Club?
No.
Yeah, he did that. He did Seven.
He did Seven, too?
Yeah. He did The Curious Case of Benjamin Button. He did The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo.
I got to admit, when I see a movie, I often don't know who the director is.
It's okay.
I feel like that's important information to know. Like, I should know that.
He's the executive producer of House of Cards. He directed the first few episodes.
That I did know. Yeah. That I did know.
He did Zodiac.
Not his best work.
Zodiac was a snooze.
Yeah, I was going to say. Not his best work.
I actually kind of like Zodiac. I think it's better than Benjamin Button.
Yeah, oh, I didn't want to see that. Wasn't that absolutely dreadful?
It's pretty bad.
I kind of liked it. Benjamin Button, that is.
But I think he should take Fight Club and merge it with Apple and Steve Jobs, and that's what we should get.
Steve Jobs. Now, there's a premise for the movie right there. Unfortunately, I think it's going to be more like, three acts behind the scenes at different Apple events, right?
Right, yeah. Right.
So do we have any idea when that might come out?
No, because they haven't even.
Okay.
No, I mean, they got to get the director and then they got to cast.
Maybe next year, I guess.
All I'm saying, Jesse Eisenberg for Tim Cook, if he's in that movie, because we just saw those Tim Cook pictures from like his youth.
His high school, yeah.
His high school. Hair. He's got the curly dark fro. He's kind of like skinny. Well, he's very skinny. He's not very tall. Really kind of like porcelain skinned. He's got just the right amount of fierceness that Tim Cook has.
How compelling is the movie going to be if it's like, you know, behind the scenes at three keynotes? It's going to be like some kind of Samuel Beckett play.
I don't even know what that is.
Yeah,
who you is know, Waiting for Godot? It's going to be you know.
There's
it could be interesting.
There's directors that have made the whole like play act structure work really well. Like Quentin Tarantino comes to mind. Like Aaron Sorkin writes really good dialogue, and I feel like it's going to be very heavy dialogue, driven scenes that are probably just going to be almost like scenes from a play. And I think it could work with Aaron Sorkin.
I suppose the Facebook movie was a lot of conference room, you know, jousting.
Yeah, I feel like if Fincher's at it, it may feel a lot like The Social Network all over again. So who knows?
Hey, let's move on. But I do want to mention, we should have mentioned the top of the show. We're going to be doing an all new Get to Know Your Cultist. We're trying it out at the end of the show. So make sure you stick around for that because we'll have that right at the very end. Buster, let's talk about Arizona, shall we?
Oh,
without getting too controversial, let's talk about Arizona because there was some very controversial legislation introduced recently.
Right.
And Apple, normally we wouldn't just talk about it for that sake, but Apple has piped in along with some other companies urging, is it the mayor
of
Phoenix or the governor of Arizona? Okay.
Yeah.
To not sign this bill. Can you tell us a little bit about what's going on?
Yeah, the state legislature, they passed a bill that would allow basically businesses to discriminate gays and lesbians if they held like a deeply seated religious belief that like homosexuality was wrong, which, you know, isn't related to Apple, except they recently like made huge news in the state by opening up the Sapphire plant out here, which isn't even completely done yet. So part of like the controversy was Apple, you know, talked to Governor Jan Brewer and told her that they, you know, it would put the plant in jeopardy if SB 1062 holds up.
Oh, did they really say that?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that Apple was like, we're actually going to consider, you know, taking action if you pass this.
Yeah, a lot of people have. Also, like the Super Bowl is going to be hosted here next year, so the NFL has like reached out and said that they're following it. Apple, you know, I don't think they've released an official statement, but there was reports that they had been talking to Brewer behind the scenes because Brewer had to pull like a ton of moves to get Apple to move to Arizona in the first place. So
they got a lot of tax breaks.
Yeah, she like rezoned a whole area of the Mesa for them. So
really
pretty huge investment for the state.
So well, like, that's a pretty strong threat, isn't it, to pull out?
Yeah. So she's getting tons of threats from big businesses, you know, and it seems like kind of the state actually is against the bill too, like citizens. It's been a pretty huge controversy. You've probably seen it all over CNN. I think she has like a couple more days until she can to veto it.
She's probably going to veto it, right? Because of this pressure?
Apple said they want to be like a force for good, and which is what they told her, rather than discriminating against people for being gay and lesbians, which Apple and obviously Tim Cook, as you know, a gay CEO of the most powered tech company, is going to push.
Allegedly.
Gay. Allegedly. Yeah.
Sorry. I read an interview with, don't want to get into this too much, obviously, but I read an interview with the guy who runs Gawker, what's his name?
Nick Denton?
Nick Denton, yeah.
Yeah. He had a Playboy interview come out a few days ago, and he was talking about that, and he basically was putting a lot of pressure on, he said that it's really Tim Cook's responsibility to come out as the most powerful businessman in America right now, basically. He just thought it was weird, the choice to stay so private with that. But I guess they're doing it this way, just as a company, like throwing. But
doesn't anyone know anything about Tim Cook? Tim Cook's like, he's even more private than Steve Jobs was.
He's very private.
Yeah, super private.
You guys, we were going to talk about this later, but we might as well, since we're already kind of talking about it, is that the expose piece that recently happened on AL.com, and they wrote all about Tim Cook and his high school days and just what his life was like there. And it was really kind of cool. They did a piece just kind of describing his personality, what he was like in high school and stuff. Did you guys read it?
Yeah. I did a post on it.
Oh, you did? Okay. It was really cool. I mean, they portrayed him as kind of how you would expect him to be. I mean, very meticulous in high school, extremely smart, very driven, but also, and it's interesting that we're seeing this now, you know, just very like kind natured and friendly to everyone who he met. And he said that well liked. Yeah. And he said that, you know, being in the South, I know people in the South hate when this gets talked about, but like, you know, like racism and stuff was, you know, a big deal there, especially in the, you know, latter 1900s. And he said that really affected him and made him want to really fight for, you know, people's rights. And that's really what he's doing at the helm of Apple. I mean, yeah, it's kind of incredible.
He's come out and so they've made a few statements in support. They supported benefits, same-sex partner benefits here in California. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I remember on MLK's birthday, he blasted out a bunch of tweets about about MLK.
Mm-hmm. I just don't understand why, if Apple is so like public in its stance on this as a company, why he doesn't. I mean, maybe it's all false and he, you know, that isn't actually what he is. But I mean, it seems like people are, you know, pretty convinced. Like there's not been enough hard evidence, but there's been enough circumstantial. So if that was the case, I'm not sure.
Well, I don't know about that. There's a lot of rumors.
Yeah, there are a lot of rumors.
I mean, I don't think there's been nothing definitive about his sexuality or just all his relationships or anything.
We could bust it, break it out, though. That's going to be my big scoop.
He wants to do that. I mean, the last thing I would want to do is like out somebody, right?
Yeah, you know. No. I'm the last person that should be giving an opinion on this because, you know, I'm not a homosexual. Because
you have
person.
A sex tape?
Because I have a sex tape as well, and I don't mind if people watch it. It's on the internet. But, you know, it's a very personal thing, and I think he definitely has the right to share or not share it. You know, I mean, he's fighting for equal rights in all different capacities in our country. And I think if he is gay, not my concern. I don't really care. And if he is and he doesn't want to talk about it, I think that should be his right to choose that.
Absolutely. No doubt about it.
That's the way it should be. I mean, in the future, it's not like we're going to make a big scene over like the CEO of Microsoft being gay or anything like that. It should be like a regular everyday thing, you know? And I think Tim Cook kind of just goes about like, you know, it's not an issue that I need to be talking about.
And his focus is on Apple. I mean, he's building Apple, and the dude gets up at 3:45 a.m. every morning and goes in there to try to build this company. I mean, that is obviously his focus. So I think that's good. You know, he's like, here's what I'm focused on. I'm going to remain focused on this. I'm not going to get distracted by other things. I can respect that, is all I'm trying to say. In any case, how do we end up talking about this for 10 minutes?
We talked about the Arizona.
You guys know I never turn down an opportunity to talk about Tim Cook. And we could keep talking about Tim Cook if you want. I don't mind.
I honestly think that he is probably, well, I don't know, if not... He might be at least as, if not more, interesting of a personality as Steve Jobs. It's just that we don't know anything about him.
I just think he's more secretive.
No, I think that's what I think makes him interesting. I think if like a big personality profile ever did come out, I mean,
I think there's going to be the Yukari Kane's book next month has a lot about Cook.
Really?
And and it's not a pretty picture.
Is it
pretty damning? I think so, yeah. I mean, I haven't read the book, and I've just talked to Yukari a little bit, but she told me a little bit about...
Wait, what book is this, Leander?
Well, it's called Haunted Empire.
Yeah.
And it's about, she's a former Wall Street Journal reporter.
Uh-huh.
And she had a lot of scoops about Apple. She took a leave of, she quit the journal. And she's been writing this book for the last couple of years. And it's about Apple after Jobs' death.
Mm-hmm.
And it has a lot about Cook in there. And she I believe, you know, uncovered a lot of stuff about Cook that paints a really damning picture.
Really? That's really surprising to hear.
No, they are. I mean, I got some of this too in my reporting for the Johnny Ive book, but didn't include it.
Mm-hmm.
It got pulled out actually because it got edited out. But yeah, I'd heard similar stories too. I mean, but I think she's apparently has really reported this stuff out that he is really a hard ass.
Really? Much.
He was like, yeah, I mean, he was Jobs's. I mean, if you think Jobs is a hard ass, apparently Cook, you know, really beats him at that game. He was much more ruthless.
I feel like Jobs had more of like a not balance, but he could kind of swing both ways in terms of like being that and then also having a moment of like sincerity or like caring, or even if it was for a wrong reason. But I feel like Cook is pretty just generally cold. Like, you know, it's just
and the vibe he gives calculated, y'all.
Well, it's hard to say, isn't it? Because I mean that profile was saying that, you know, everyone liked him in high school.
Yeah. Right, but now he runs the world's, you know, richest tech company. So.
Yeah, but you got to rule with a hard hand.
Yeah, I kind of feel like if you're going to make it this far in business, you have to develop just an iron spine.
Yeah,
you got to be Putin level ruthless.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking. You got to be willing to kill the stray dogs.
Well, he hasn't wrestled any bears yet, so
that we know of. Maybe his new book will enlighten us on that. Yeah, every night he wrestles, or every weekend he wrestles a bear to death.
Well, I'm getting a copy of it next week. A preview, you know.
Dude, I want to read that. Yeah.
Yeah, so you know, we'll be doing a review of it, and I'll be doing some. We'll definitely do some posts around it. So, yeah, it should be good. It's coming out early March.
Yeah, I like it. Yeah, he's got a lot of mystique, which definitely makes him fascinating, huh?
Right.
Fascinating.
Machiavellian.
All right, let's move on. Hey, before we do, I want to thank our sponsor, lynda.com/cultcast. It's lynda.com/cultcast. I love Lynda, and I don't just say that jokingly because I love to learn, and I'm actually working on brushing up on my Ruby on Rails skills right now, gentlemen. I don't know if you guys know this about me, but programming was one of my concentrations in college. Really loved it a lot, and it's been a little while since I have really done it in any kind of capacity. So I decided to hop on lynda.com, and they have all these amazing courses, over 2,000 for you to choose from, all broken down into really great video segments that you can watch and rewatch and revisit. And it really helps you learn. And right now I'm working on my Ruby on Rails skills, as I mentioned. I'm going to try and build like a little application. And who knows where I'll go from there, but that's what I love about lynda.com is if there's anything that you want to learn, maybe you're a photographer, you're trying to learn Photoshop better, maybe you're trying to learn Lightroom, maybe you're trying to learn how to program, you want to learn Objective-C, you want to learn how to program for the iPhone, maybe you're an editor, you want to learn how to use Final Cut Pro X, they have video courses on all this stuff, and right now you can go to lynda.com/cultcast, sign up for a free 7-day trial, and you can learn all you want for free. Watch as many videos as you want, watch as many different courses as you want. Really, truly excellent service. I'm so happy to have them as a sponsor. So that's lynda.com, lynda.com/cultcast. I want to thank them for sponsoring the show. I love lynda.com.
I can't believe I laughed again. It was stupid, ridiculous.
I was like, I gotta wait. I gotta give it a really long pause. I can get Leander on it. I gotta wait really long. Hey, let's talk about the new Mavericks update, shall we, guys? 10.9.2 is out. I haven't actually installed it yet because I'm using my machine. Before Comcast takes it, throws it away for using too much bandwidth. This is my production machine, so I didn't really want to install it just in case there was a problem. I'm assuming you guys all did.
Well, there's a big security hole that they're patching.
Yeah, you got to install it.
Yes. So that was one of the big things that they patched, is the security hole, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And, you know, iOS 7, too. You got to update that because the security hole is a nasty one.
Let's talk about iOS 7 in just a moment, Alex. We'll go to you for that. But let's talk about the other features in 10.9.2. I mean, everyone's going to install this anyway. It's free. So we also got the ability to make FaceTime audio calls on your computer, which is awesome. I really love audio. FaceTime audio only calls. We got FaceTime audio call waiting. Oh, I'm sorry. Just FaceTime call waiting. And am I missing anything else, guys? That's big. We got the ability to block incoming iMessages.
And supposedly the mail app was fixed. I can't remember. I don't know what was wrong, but lots of people were complaining about the mail app.
Yeah, I was having a lot of problems with the mail app, too, especially in regards to using it with Gmail.
Yeah.
I read a great piece by Joe Kissel, I think is his last name. He was writing for Tidbits, and he was saying a lot of the problems that mail was having before, or at least for him, have been fixed. The big one for me was when you were using mail, if you were using it with Gmail and you didn't want to store stuff on Gmail servers, like sent messages, draft messages, and that type of thing, you couldn't turn that stuff off in mail. If you did, when you went back to use it, it was turned back on. So apparently they fixed that. And then just better Gmail integration. Have you guys noticed anything else that's noteworthy?
Not really.
I actually haven't got to install it yet, but I'm really looking forward to the Gmail fixes because Mail and Mavericks has sucked for me.
It's really buggy. Have you guys like ever never, had, like, sorry, go ahead, Alex.
No, I was just going to say, like, it never checks mail when it's supposed to. And, like, when I delete a message, it reappears and I have to delete it, like, three times. And it's gotten to a point where I do, like, most of my mail management on iOS, because when I delete a message on iOS, it actually deletes it. But in mail, like, I'll delete something and it'll still be there. It'll just, like, reappear.
It's really buggy. And I don't
know.
So
buggy.
Smart folders have had issues keeping correct counts of how many emails, unread emails, are within the folders. And also, I don't know if this has ever happened to you guys. I use the VIP feature in Mavericks all the time. So my VIP folder in mail always just disappears. And I have to mark an email as VIP in order for it to reappear and then unmark the email. It's just like, man, I hope that they fix that as well.
Yeah, well, there's a whole grab bag of
bugs and really and truly. Alex, iOS 7.0.6 is out. You wrote a piece about why everyone needs to install this right now.
Yeah.
Do tell.
Go to fail.
GoToFail.com?
No, yeah, there's like a really nasty SSL bug, which SSL is the, it's like a middleman for like when you're using a secure web connection. So like with your bank, when you see that little padlock in the address bar, it's kind of shaking hands through SSL to confirm your identity and the bank's identity. So the idea there is that like somebody can't intercept that data. But the problem is that Apple's had this like really simple, like one line of code SSL bug since like iOS 6 that lets a hacker with you don't even need iOS expertise to do like a it's called a man in the middle attack. So like if you're on a shared Wi-Fi network, you could, you know, sniff the data, you know, the web traffic, even if it's secure, coming from someone else on the network. And that was uncovered and that it's been there for a long time. And there was one really scary theory that that John Gruber put out about, like, apparently this bug was added like a month before Apple was added to the NSA's PRISM program.
Not a bug at all.
Right. Well, that's the thing. Like, people were like, when the researchers started analyzing it, they were like, this is literally such a dumb thing to have in the first place, but then to not leave, like, to leave unfixed for over a year.
It's an NSA backdoor. Well, you know, they paid $10 million to the RSA to screw up their encryption, right? So it's not beyond the realm of possibility. Yeah.
I mean, at best.
Really? So you guys think it might have been intentional, is what you're saying?
Well, I don't know, but like, it's kind of weird. It's weird that it was there in the first place because it's like almost the equivalent of like a typo in the code. Like it's a really dumb mistake, and then that it stayed there for so long, and that just now it's being updated when all this NSA stuff is finally kind of.
Correct me if I'm wrong in my understanding of why this was a big deal. And essentially what I read was HTTPS, which is like this, mm-hmm. the way of sending information from your computer
securely,
to the internet.
Supposedly.
Yeah. Is what's used when you're sending passwords, when you're sending credit card information, when you buy something. Essentially, that was not working in iOS 7.
No, it's not. It's not that it wasn't working.
Or it could be broken.
It could be intercepted very easily.
Okay.
Not
so
by
someone
anyone.
Could get your passwords. They could get your credit card information.
Yeah. It wasn't secure. It says it was secure, but it's
but
not
what
secure at all.
It actually wasn't secure at all. Yeah.
Yeah. No. Not by anyone random. It would need to be somebody on your network. So if you were connected, like if you're in a coffee shop and there's, you know, something like that.
But you're on networks all the time with other people.
Exactly. Yeah. Or, I mean, if you're looking at it from a government perspective, the government has, you know, I'm sure keys to AT&T. And if you're using AT&T to do it, then so theoretically, anytime you could be susceptible to either the government or somebody else. And the fact that it was added right before Prism, they were added to Prism and then randomly taken away like this. It's very weird.
Interesting. So everyone should definitely update to 7.0.6 because it essentially fixes that problem, right? Although I did hear that it actually has introduced a new bug as well.
Which
NSA
one?
Backdoor dot
PSS hello
dot DMG. No, so maybe I was incorrect on that. That's just what I heard, is that it had also introduced a new.
Well, there's that
well.
Other bug that Buster wrote about the key logging, right? Buster?
Right. Yeah.
Like that. I don't know really much about that one.
There's just another bug where you can use a app to monitor somebody like in the background, like all of their key logs and presses, home button presses, volume and stuff like that, and then you could. It doesn't tell you like exactly like. Like what keyboard strokes you touched, but it tells you like the XY coordinate that somebody touched, and then you could like use that to like figure out passwords and other stuff too.
It just goes to show, like, you think of iOS as being like super secure, and it's the same thing with OS X. OS X was never, I mean, it is technically more secure than Windows just because of the foundation it's built on, but at the same time, like, the only reason that OS X has not been targeted by viruses for so long and iOS is that it wasn't a majority of the market, and OS X will never be really. So, you know, iOS is quickly becoming the dominant, or if you know, the second most dominant mobile OS. So I think we're going to start seeing a lot more security, you know, attacks and concerns relating to it. It's not that it is more secure than Android because it's closed. It's not open, but it's not.
It's software, yeah. I mean, as long as it's software, there's always going to be people who are able to hack it.
Especially if Apple, you know, does keep, like, leaving, you know, making mistakes.
NSA or backdoors?
Yeah, backdoors, however you look at it.
NSA backdoor.dmg. to your point about how Apple stuff has never really been popular enough to warrant, you know, lots of different attacks, I kind of wonder if that is going to end up being a major problem in the future. Because you're right. I mean, why attack, you know, a base of 10,000 computers? This is just, I'm making this number up. When you could write a bit of code that will attack a million computers. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, and we don't have to ever use like antivirus really. I mean, who on a Mac uses antivirus software? But I wonder if eventually that's going to become, you know, a real necessity.
I don't think so. I don't think OS X will ever even reach like 50% of the market. Especially with the mobile like revolution and how tablets are becoming so popular. I think OS X's kind of hit its peak in terms of traditional desktop market share.
Well, we'll see about that, Alex. Hey, that was overly aggressive. I'm sorry, that was uncalled for. I want to move on and talk about Netflix. I want to talk about Netflix and what happened this week with that and the internet in general. And then we're going to wrap up with an all new get to know your cultist. I thought this week's question was rather delightful. But I do want to thank Sandbox for sponsoring the show, too. I've really enjoyed using Sandbox. I've been using it for about, I'd say about 8 weeks now. And it's really helped me focus on the things that I actually want to see in my inbox. And to use it, all you do is activate it. You can use it with any of your email providers. And then Sandbox goes through and it kind of sniffs out how you're using your email, which emails you're reading. And it's only looking at header information, by the way. They're not reading all your emails. And then how fast you respond to certain emails, if you respond. And it starts getting smarter, and it will start filtering your emails so that certain emails you will see right away, and the other emails get placed in different folders. So if you want to go back at a later time, you can go through that folder and, you know, just kind of peruse everything. And they also send you daily digests so that you can look at all the emails in one email and then just hit one button and just say, delete all this stuff. I don't want to see it. Has actually saved me a ton of time. And I recommend you try it. If you're getting too much email, I have 1,389 emails in my mail app at this very moment. And if you're like me and you're getting lots of emails every day, maybe you're getting too many marketing emails, Sandbox makes it really easy just to make sure those go to like a whole folder that you can kind of peruse every once in a while. Check out sandbox.com/cultcast and try it out for free. And you'll get a $10 credit as well. So if you want to keep using it, you can get a $10 credit off the service. That could be good for a month or two of service. And just try it out and see if it saves you time. I've been training my folders too over the last 8 weeks, and they have been getting a lot smarter and truly saving a lot of time. So if you're having problems getting your emails sorted out, because they just keep coming in, don't they? Head on over to sandbox.com/cultcast. I want to thank them for sponsoring the show. Guys, let's talk about Netflix, shall we? And net neutrality.
Cue rant.
Oh,
I'm going to need you guys.
I'm just going to go and get lunch, okay?
I'm going to need you guys to be silent for the next 20 minutes while I just spew. Leander, go make a sandwich. Buster, right. You can take a nap. Maybe condition your beard. I'm not going to rant. I'm really, well, no promises. Try not to. So something big happened this week. Netflix and Comcast reached a quote-unquote agreement. So now Netflix is going to be paying Comcast, we don't know how much, a fee to access, to get faster access, rather, to Comcast's customers. So essentially, if you're a Comcast customer, you're paying to use the internet, and Comcast is making Netflix pay to send their service over their pipelines to you. So they're double dipping.
It's a freaking mess.
It's a huge, ginormous mess. This sets a terrible precedent because now, guess what? Other companies are going to have to start, filing suits. And
I really agree with that Verge article from yesterday. The internet is effed.
So could you tell? I was going to bring that up. Could you tell what that was? And
basically, the internet is effed because in America we've let corporate greed slip into the internet and the democratization. Just keeping it free, keeping it open, and when you've got all these companies paying for. Using bandwidth and, if I pay you, then you won't throttle me and he won't throttle you if I pay you back. And like all that stuff, it's just a mess. It just get like AT&T's sponsored data thing where companies can pick up the bill on data. So all of a sudden Facebook loads faster on your phone than another social network because they paid to. It's just a mess. Like I just can't see it getting any better, and it's not that bad right now, but if this keeps going, I mean, in 5 years,
imagine every video company having to pay Comcast like extra money to, get video to you.
Yeah. And they're about to merge with Time Warner, and that's going to create an even bigger behemoth.
The thing that's just crazy is like the internet, like that Verge article argues that the internet, it should be an utility, like your water, your electricity, like data is data. It doesn't matter whether it comes from Netflix or, some little blog, like it should all be treated the same because there's really no difference,
Yeah, absolutely. And it's so convoluted now, and I feel like we're going back to the 90s when you were on AOL, and the internet was AOL, right? And if people wanted to reach AOL's customers, they had to do business with AOL, and the internet was supposed to be free, but somehow we're making our way backwards. And when all these other countries are getting, fiber optic installed and insanely fast LTE speeds here in the U.S., well, in Seattle, it's not bad. Other places have it worse. But we're really not making any progress. And if you haven't read the Verge article by Nilay Patel, Dude, I was like, slow clap, standing ovation when I read that. I was like, this guy has called out every single problem, and he's unabashed about his criticisms. I mean, he is just like, here's what's wrong, here's who's responsible for it, and here's how we can fix it. And I'm glad that he's bringing it up, and he was brave enough to do it. You know, because you got to think, some of those people he called out are Verge sponsors, right? I mean, and he's calling out everyone and saying, this is a major problem, and we deserve better than this, and we do. And then my favorite part is, at the very end of the article says, here's what you need to do if you're pissed off that we're getting screwed on internet in America. And he gives you Tom Wheeler's email address, which is tom.wheeler@fcc.gov, who works for the FCC. And he also gives the FCC's phone number, 888-225-5322. And he's like, you need to start complaining, because the only way anything is going to change is if the FCC realizes that us, the citizens, care about this more than Comcast, more than Verizon, more than AT&T, and we start making our voices heard. We have to really get pissed. I'm pissed. You guys know I'm pissed. I just hope you'll get pissed. I need everyone listening to get as pissed as I am about this.
I feel like people won't start getting pissed. Like, I'll get pissed enough to write an email when I can't access Netflix anymore. Like that, I feel like that's what.
Fill it in your pocketbook, or in your wallet. I mean,
yeah, like that's the moment where, like, because even to somebody like me who like actually knows some stuff about this, like I'm not, sadly, don't feel motivated enough to do something like this yet, just because it hasn't really directly affected me.
Right? Because Netflix is just paying up, right?
Then they came for the, you know.
Yeah, well, I mean, if we're comparing to the Holocaust, we can just keep going, I guess.
Not sure that's the best comparison, yeah.
But you know what I mean? It's like, but like you say, Alex, it's like, you know, you're not motivated to speak up until, you know, until you lose something.
Right.
You value. But it's a super important issue, but it is very abstract. And it's hard to get people, you know, like, there are very few people that do get riled up about this. Because
you say something like net neutrality to a normal person, and they, like, you know. The red signs go up.
You're right. That's kind of a bad way of describing it. It should be like fair market pricing, you know. Because,
that's even worse.
Because everyone that I know is overpaying for internet and overpaying for cable, and it's because there's no competition, and now it's going to get even worse. And here's the other thing about it: it's going to stifle creativity. Let's say you're a startup and you want to start the next Vine, right? Well, let's say that Vine has a contract with Comcast so that their traffic doesn't get slowed down, and you're gonna start, I don't know, camera video app. You're starting camera video app, the new startup, and you want to have your video go across Comcast lines, and they just say, sorry, we're in a partnership with Vine, so your traffic gets slowed down and theirs doesn't. It's gonna stifle creativity in that way and stifle innovation, because you're not gonna have the same access that they have. Those who are willing
unless
you pay, exactly.
Exactly. And Netflix and YouTube and all the other big video companies, you know, never would have got, you know, may not have got started.
They wouldn't have. I mean, Comcast has their own video offering. They have their own on-demand services. They have, what is it called, like Flixster or something? Oh, they have StreamPix, excuse me. Comcast has StreamPix. So, and it's just like Netflix. Imagine if Netflix had to deal with this 10 years ago. I mean, would we have a Netflix? What about the next Netflix in 10 years? Like, how are they gonna go into business with this happening? So that's more of the reason why we need to be talking about this now. It's not for what the services we have now. It's the services that we want in 10 years. And when Korea is having like 10 gigabit speeds for $35 a month in the next 10 years, and we're stuck here at like, you know, 100 megabits for $150 a month. Anyway, end rant. Email Tom Wheeler and let him know that Airfon's really pissed and you are too.
Airfon sent me.
I'm really pissed. I want you to start treating Comcast like they're less important than the consumers you're supposed to represent. Hear, hear. Okay. Let's do an all-new Get to Know Your Cultist. Let's wrap up on a lighter note, shall we? Let's do an all-new Get to Know Your Cultist. This is, of course, a segment where our listeners pitch ideas and questions for us to talk about, and then we answer them so that they get to know us better. Because, Leander, I know that you know that all of our listeners want to just learn every tidbit about us, you particularly.
Yeah, it's
we learned
flattering.
That you love curly whirlies. I never would have known that about you. And all sorts of other great information that I can't recall at the moment. But
exactly.
This question comes from Derek Kostovic. I think we got a question from him before. If Derek, this is your second one, congratulations. He asks, if you could have 10 seconds of a song play whenever you entered a room, what song would you pick? And I would also say, I would like to add to that, let's also pick the song for one other person. So why don't I do Buster, you do Leander, Leander, you do Alex. And just pick any random song. So you come into a room, the music plays for 10 seconds. Does anyone want to go first?
I'm sorry, I didn't understand what you were talking about.
Oh, wait, we're supposed to do, am I supposed to pick one for me and one for Leander?
Yeah.
Oh, I got it.
Okay.
For me, personally, I would like Whitney Houston's I Want to Dance with Somebody.
Just, oh my gosh, you're gonna win.
Bring me into that room, just ready to party. For Leander's, I would just go with God Save the Queen.
Just oh, okay. I would have gone with Killer Queen.
The Sex Pistols version, though, right? God Save the Queen!
The fascist regime! I don't think I've heard that version.
What?
Me either.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? Really?
Yeah, no.
My God. How sad.
Alex, you want to go? So I think you're picking for yourself and for me. Alex?
So it's gone.
Alex.
He just liked this section even more than I did.
He was like, I hate this so much, I'm not even gonna pick. I'm just gonna leave. Okay, Leander, you wanna go next? You want me to go?
Okay, I forgot. So you gotta pick
a song for you. A 10-second clip for when you enter a room, it plays. And then also I was gonna have you pick for Alex, but why don't you pick for me and I'll pick
for
Buster.
All right, well, the one I like is, so you remember in Superbad when he comes to the party and there's that song playing? I want that song.
Oh, that's a great song.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, not these eyes. These eyes have seen a lot of love, but they're never going to see another one
like I had with you. That's what he was singing.
Were you talking about, like, the really bassy one, Leander?
Oh,
yeah, like, at the very beginning of the movie.
Oh. No, it's not. It's at the end of the movie. It's, when he gets to the party with the booze. He said, yeah, you better come out with it. Go hands up, we got you surrounded.
I'm in the back, changing my outfit. He said, blink, we will send the house in. Oh, yeah, okay.
That's a rap song. I don't know who does it.
Okay, fair enough. What about for me?
Oh, some awful Beach Boys song.
Are there any awful Beach Boys songs?
They're all awful. I hate the Beach Boys.
Oh, what?
The one with the Good Vibration. No.
They're just so, like, American. I can
Good Vibrations?
Like,
when I enter the room?
Good
Vibrations.
Sugary American music.
You can talk surf talk.
That would actually be pretty awesome. Good. And then it just stops and I go, good vibrations. And I point at people in the room. And then, okay, so those are yours. I guess Alex is gone, so I'll go next. I think for me, I would probably have to pick Sexual Healing by Marvin Gaye. When I get that feeling, I want sexual healing. Sexual healing, it's good for me. And I'll just come in looking all sexy, making kissy faces at people. Although I'm not sure what the first 10 seconds of that song is like. I mean, he didn't say we had to choose the first 10 seconds.
Oh, I was
going to
choose my own personal loop inside the song.
Okay, so. Yeah, okay. That's what I'll do, too. So that will be mine. And then for Buster, oh my gosh. Oh, I know. It would be I'm Too Sexy by Right Said Fred. I'm too sexy for my shirt. Too sexy for my shirt. So sexy it hurts.
Good one.
Buster's too sexy for this party. Too sexy for this party. The way his beard is growing. No, that was bad. I apologize. Anyway, thanks for the question, Derek. And if you guys wanted to contribute a get to know your cultist question, head on over to our Facebook page, facebook.com/thecultcast. We would love to hear topics, things that you want us to talk about on the show. Maybe you could contribute a get to know your cultist question. That would be great as well. But that's all the cultcast we have for you guys this week. If you want to hang out with us on Twitter, you can follow us on Twitter. I'm at Airflon, Leander's L. Caney, Buster's BST3R. And of course, for all the best news, reviews, and how-tos in the world of Apple, make sure you're following Cult of Mac. Oh yeah, don't forget about Alex Excelsior Heath. Alex E. Heath on Twitter, even though he's not here. This has been the Cultcast, the best 30-minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. New episodes of the Cultcast come out every Thursday night. I want to thank everyone for listening. And unless we're censored by Comcast, we'll see you guys next.